All right, as we do every Monday night, right at 8 o'clock, we start hitting on some of the top NBA stories around the league. Of course, we'll continue to talk Los Angeles Lakers basketball. First story I want to talk about. Curtis, I'm going to get your thoughts on some of this here, right? So the Hall of Fame induction obviously didn't happen in 2020. So now it's been announced that it's coming in May 2021. So what does that mean? Kobe, Tim Duncan, Kevin Garnett will enter the Hall of Fame. So it's really, originally when you were lining up the classes, this is just based on when these guys all retired, you knew that this was a special class in 2020. And of course now with the great late Kobe Bryant passing away, there's a lot of attention to this. And it's interesting because I don't know who's going to induct Kobe. I don't know who's going to give that speech to talk about his unbelievable 20 years with the Los Angeles Lakers, his five NBA championships. Obviously, the predicament, the situation, just devastating for Laker fans and just fans around the world, really. But I don't know who's going to give that speech. And all I can do is just kind of give my opinion on it, my thoughts on it. Couple names came to mind, and you know, it doesn't have to be one name or the other. Michael Jordan stuck out to me. Michael, during Kobe's funeral here, or as they did it here at Staples Center, Michael Jordan was, spoke from the heart, was so genuine. Obviously, Michael Jordan, the face of the NBA, that's one name that could potentially give that Hall of Fame induction speech. But I got a couple more too. Phil Jackson came into my mind. Shaq came into my mind. I mean, Shaquille O'Neal, Shaq, simply because anytime you associate with Kobe, just Shaq and Kobe, you know, those two go together. And some of the, I think most, most the years that you remember most, if you're a Laker fan out there, it was Shaq and Kobe winning three NBA championships, is getting to the finals 4 out of 5 years. It was the struggle of not getting to the NBA finals the years prior to that before Phil Jackson came. But I don't know how it will all come into play, but I do know that Hall of Fame induction is going to happen in May 2021, and Kobe, Tim Duncan, Kevin Garnett will enter the Hall of Fame. And of course, under the unfortunate scenario, this is going to be a very, very emotional one, not just for Laker fans, but fans in general. What do you think, Curtis? If you had to think of who would... And I'm talking about just from a basketball perspective. You know, of course, if it was a family member or something like that, I love it. I get it. I understand it. Outstanding. But if it is a former player or former coach or something along those lines, who comes into mind in your mind of who would give that speech?
I'm surprised you didn't bring this name up because it was my first choice. And
who's
this actually works personal and player. Let's have Pau Gasol do it. Pau's already, I mean, if you look at Instagram, Pau is hanging out with Kobe's family every other weekend, every holiday with his wife and his new child. I think Pau's the perfect choice because not only is it a guy that won a title with him, they were synonymous and you know they were best friends for a really long time. I think Pau's the perfect choice. I mean, I'm a huge Pau fan, but hands down, I think that's who it should be.
Well, listen, when you say Pau, and that does take me back, I mean, his connection with... the Bryant family and how much him and his wife, when their newborn kid, how much they have kind of interacted with the Bryant family. Hey, I can't argue that one. I can't for a second. And by the way, you know, those years that Pau and Kobe played together, they were special. You know, those were incredibly important for Kobe Bryant because this was Kobe now getting out of the shadow of Shaquille O'Neal, turning the page of his career and saying, well, Shaq was the finals MVP in those 3 years. Those were Shaq's team. Kobe and Pau, that was Kobe's team. And obviously, Pau came over to the Lakers, helped the Lakers get to the finals 3 years in a row, won 2 NBA championships, and the 5th championship for Kobe Bryant was against the Boston Celtics right here at Staples Center. I think you just... When you said you haven't even thought of this name, or I just kind of listed a couple down there, I put Jordan, I put Phil, I put Shaq. Yeah, I think that makes by far the most sense because of that personal relationship with his family.
He's eloquent, and also, you know, hopefully Pau's going to be following him soon into the Hall of Fame
sure.
as well.
All right, so we'll see how that plays out. But it is kind of over the weekend is when they announced that the Hall of Fame induction is going to happen, May 2021. How they do it, where we are in the world, we'll just have to wait and see. But we know that's coming up. Okay, another top NBA story. So Nicholas Batum looks like will be a Los Angeles Clipper. That came down yesterday. Shams Charania, The Athletic, was reporting the news. You know, it's funny because a lot of times, anytime I bring up the Clippers, and this is very natural for Laker fans, you bring up the Clippers and you say, ah, come on. What are you going to talk about the Clippers for? I'm always very intrigued about what the Clippers are doing. You know, I was intrigued when Doc Rivers was fired. I was intrigued when they were trying to figure out Montrezl Harrell decided to leave the Clippers and come to the Los Angeles Lakers. I was intrigued with any of their off-season acquisitions. Luke Kennard came from the Detroit Pistons. I had to learn up on Luke Kennard. Serge Ibaka was a name I was just, please don't go to the Clippers. Don't go to the Clippers. Ended up with the Clippers. So I pay attention to the Clippers only because, look, when the competition is that close, those two teams should have collided in the playoffs in Orlando. Clippers choked. Lakers didn't. Clippers had as good of a roster as anybody in the NBA, but a roster on paper doesn't mean that you're going to get to the NBA Finals or you're going to win an NBA Finals, and Clippers proved that. Milwaukee's had the number one record in the East 2 years in a row. How many times have they been to the Finals? They haven't been there in those 2 years that they were the number one seed. So it's one thing to have it on paper, but I will say I think the acquisition of Serge Ibaka, the acquisition of Nicholas Batum, and Luke Kennard, I think that's how you pronounce his name. Those three players, I do think, make the Clippers the second best team in the Western Conference to go along with all the players that they already have. We'll see if they make any other, you know, additions or anything like that by the time the offseason ends. Or, I'm sorry, by the time we get into the season and trade deadline and buyout market and everything else. But maybe I'm falling into that trap again, where I just think that the Clippers are the biggest threat, but I do believe they are the biggest threat. Curtis, let me ask you a question here. I know you know your NBA. Look at what Denver did, what they accomplished last season. Clippers obviously choke away that 3-1 lead. The biggest threat to the Lakers. I know. I did a post-game show after they lost. Clippers lost Game 7 to Denver. I did a post-game show on YouTube. Like, I went on and did a 30-minute post-game show just out of joy. That just shows what a a-hole I am deep down inside. But looking at the competition in the West, do you agree with me that Clippers are the stiffest competition in the West for the Lakers?
I do. I know there was that wild card brought up the other week about maybe Dallas being that, but I think it's still the Clippers. But honestly, a lot of these kind of moves almost seem like reactionary moves, like they had to sign somebody because they're sinking a lot of money into those three guys.
But I like those moves. Like I like the Serge Ibaka.
He was supposed to be here, by the way.
What was it? Who was it? Bobby Marks, right? About a month ago, we had Bobby Marks on, and Bobby Marks got me all excited. He's saying Serge Ibaka. But listen, I'm good with Montrezl Harrell because you got Marc Gasol, so you also got the size that you know you needed. But Serge Ibaka is a good fit for them, and Nicholas Batum is a good fit. Why? Because they need veterans, professionals, people that have kind of, you know, been in the league for a while. Serge Ibaka won an NBA championship when he was in Toronto. So I think those types of pieces is what they were missing. But again, that's all on paper. Even the Lakers roster. How much have I been complimenting what Pelinka's done in the offseason, Dennis Schroeder, what he's going to bring to the table, all these other pieces. On paper, it looks great. But now when the season starts, there's obviously going to be a lot of eyes and see if they can make it work together in this kind of mix, you can say. So that's what the Clippers have done so far this offseason. Okay, another top NBA story that I want to get into. The Celtics have created the largest trade player exception in NBA history. So Gordon Hayward, when he signed with the Charlotte Hornets for 4 years and $120 million, let me go ahead and repeat that. Gordon Hayward, 4 years, $120 million with the Charlotte Hornets.
Still can't believe that.
They found a way, the Boston Celtics did, to get a trade exception and kind of make this thing work. This is similar when Kevin Durant decided to sign with the Brooklyn Nets. D'Angelo Russell actually came back And they also created a trade exception. Actually, trade exception came for Andre Iguodala. But this is a wrinkle that's very important. Pay attention to this because the Celtics lost Gordon Hayward, but then now they have money. Keep an eye on Boston to try and fill up that cap space that they have or that trade exception that they have. Look for players that are not happy with the current situation. I was reading an article earlier today. I think it was Yahoo Sports, maybe it was Bleacher Report, but it was talking about some players that maybe are not too crazy about their situation. Guys like Victor Oladipo. I don't think an Indiana Pacers team would trade anything to the Boston Celtics because these are two franchises facing each other and could face each other in the postseason. But look for players that are not happy in their current position or situation. That's where that trade exception can come into play. Kelly Oubre Jr. signed that deal with the Golden State Warriors. That was a trade exception that they used for Andre Iguodala. So there's some value there with the Boston Celtics.
Especially when it's $28
million. $28
million. That's a lot.
The largest they've had in and by the way, if you're going to lose a player in free agency and you're not going to get anything back, find a way to get that trade exception because then at least you can go spend some money on another player. Okay, final NBA story I want to get to. Okay, I got two more. One real quick. I mentioned it earlier in the show. Congratulations to Jared Dudley. He is back with the Los Angeles Lakers. Dudley signs a $2.6 million one-year contract with the Lakers. So what does that mean for the Lakers? So it means LeBron, KCP, Wesley Matthews, Marc Gasol, Dennis Schroeder, Montrezl Harrell, Markieff Morris, Kyle Kuzma, Alex Caruso, Talen Horton-Tucker, Kostas Antetokounmpo, and Jared Dudley are all on this Lakers roster. The one question is going to be Anthony Davis. It's not really a question. It's just going to be a matter of what he ends up signing for with the Lakers. Okay, final NBA story I want to get into. Nate Robinson, former NBA player, fought in a pay-per-view event versus YouTube star Jake Paul over the weekend. What's going on with boxing? Curtis, talk to me here. What is happening with boxing right now?
Tyson
fought Roy Jones Jr. What are we doing?
I disconnected. You know, I went to Arizona, but the one thing I could not avoid was everybody making fun of both those fights. Man, and Nate, and he didn't move for a really long time when he went down. I'm not a fan of Jake Paul, but he should have known from the start. Dude's got like at least 2 feet of length longer, arm reach.
Well, here's the thing, and I guess he's trying to become a professional boxer. So here's what I take away from this past weekend. First of all, I'm not a fan of that. Like, I'm not, you said that he was down for a long time. I actually really worry about anybody gets knocked out. That, maybe that's why I'm not a big MMA fan. I'm not one that has that stomach for some getting knocked out or an MMA a lot, which I know it's, mixed martial arts. It's an art what they do. But when players or when fighters are just getting, hit on the canvas over and over before the referee finally comes in or the official finally comes in. But this fight specific, Nate Robinson and Jake Paul. I mean, if you were on Twitter on Saturday night and it actually bled into Sunday, Nate Robinson has got, the poor man will be a meme for I don't know how long, but he has got demolished on Twitter. I didn't know that Roy Jones Jr. and Mike Tyson each got $1 million for doing the fight. And by the way, it doesn't appeal to me. It's not interesting to me. I feel bad for them that they're doing it at the age that they're doing it at. And then Nate Robinson and Jake Paul got $600,000 each. I don't know if this is where we're going with boxing. Of course, it's not the first time that entertainment was more important than the actual skill of boxing. We saw it with Mayweather and Conor McGregor when Conor McGregor decided to put on some gloves and go into what Mayweather's been doing, one of the greatest to ever do it. But not the biggest fan of it. Did you buy the fight?
No, no way.
Yeah, I didn't buy the fight.
I mean, I think that's a good point you make.
What were they paying? Well, how much was the fight? Don't tell me it was like 50, 60 bucks.
It's got to be at least. I mean, I know those Mayweather ones are 60, 70, but I think you made a good point of ever since kind of McGregor jumped in with me, it was almost more about the spectacle and not the actual sport. And you kind of see that with both all the combat sports.
But well, I just say that because I'm not the, I'm not the biggest boxing fan. I know Michael Thompson loves boxing. I just don't follow the sport. Like I can watch two good fighters going at it, but I don't know enough in the sense of, what's going on currently today. But if there's some really good fighters out there and they're being out-pay-per-viewed by Nate Robinson and Jake Paul, probably not good for the sport. probably not good for the future of the sport. But a former NBA player, Nate Robinson, tried doing some boxing this weekend. Let's just say that it didn't go exactly as planned. Okay, I got something that I want to read off when we come back. We got some information. Dr. Anthony Fauci was with Yahoo Sports. This was actually just a few hours ago, and they talked about what the potential is of having fans back in sports stadiums for this upcoming NBA season. And I want to read that off, and I also just want to talk about what we got coming up this upcoming year for the NBA. There are so many unknowns right now, so many question marks. And if you look at the landscape of sports where there's another NFL game moved to Tuesday. It was at the Pittsburgh-Baltimore. Now it's moved to Wednesday. You see what's going on in college football. COVID obviously is having its impact all around sports. And I want to talk about what that can mean for the NBA. So we'll do that coming up next. By the way, Om Young Masuk coming up at 8:30. We'll talk a little bit more on the NBA as a whole. Stay right here. I'm Alan Sliwa. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I appreciate everybody being a part of the show. By the way, if you want to get on 710 ESPN, you want to talk some Lakers basketball with me, 877-710 ESPN. We'll go till 9 o'clock tonight. After the show, we'll go on social. We'll go live on our ESPN Los Angeles, all our social accounts. We do it on Periscope, on Twitter, on YouTube, Facebook. So we'll do the show, another half hour of Lakers talk, but it's actually, you know, we're having a conversation. You can see me. By the way, if you miss any part of the show, ESPN app or on iTunes, you could download all 2 hours, get all your Los Angeles Lakers basketball. So something I want to hit on real quick, and Dr. Anthony Fauci, who is the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, you've obviously heard that name a ton since March when really the country got shut down, and specifically just talking from a sports perspective, that's when the NBA stopped. So he did an interview with Yahoo Sports earlier today, and, you know, it's interesting because he was asked the question of potentially this upcoming NBA season, does he expect that there'll be full 20,000-seat NBA arenas in July when the postseason is scheduled to finish? So as in by the time the finals start, can we expect fans? Or at least not just fans, but actually packed arenas. And he says, I think they'll be cutting it close. He goes on to say, we're going to be vaccinating the highest priority people from the end of December through January, February, March. By the time you get to a general public, the people will be going to the basketball games who don't have any underlying conditions. That's going to be starting the end of April, May, June. So it'll probably be well into the end of the summer before you can really feel comfortable with full sports stadiums if a lot of the people get vaccinated. So I say that, and I wanted to just comment on that real quick because, I don't know, I just haven't had a conversation yet in my own head where I can think that across the street at Staples Center at any point this upcoming season that there's going to be fans. That, you know, I started off the show talking about how important should the regular season be for the Lakers, how much should LeBron James be playing to start the season. Well, I'm not taking into account home court advantage. I just don't feel like we just saw Lakers get the number one seed and then end up in Orlando, and home court obviously didn't mean anything, but the Lakers still found a way to win an NBA championship. I don't know what to expect this year. I really don't. You know, we don't have the schedule out yet. I think the theme of watching the Lakers play two games against the Clippers and then two games against the Phoenix Suns, I think we're going to see a lot of that where you're lumping in. If you're going to go travel to Sacramento, you might as well face them two games in a row, and then you're done traveling to Sacramento. And then the next time you play the Sacramento Kings out here in Staples Center, you'll play them twice as well. And I think the entire landscape of the NBA – there's going to be some challenges that we're probably not talking about right now, and some curveballs that come our way that we just didn't anticipate. I mean, listen, The NBA just went through this Orlando bubble where they had to finish just 8 regular season games before the postseason started. Now you're trying to get through 72 regular season games plus 4 preseason games from the Lakers' perspective. So you got 76 games before the postseason even starts. And we know the way the playoff schedule is, or I'm sorry, the way the regular season schedule is going to be laid out, they're going to do it in halves. They'll do the first half of the season, they'll release that out, and then they won't release the second half until they get closer to, you know, that time period coming. Well, why are they going to do it that way? It's obviously an indication that the NBA is not 100% sure what to expect over these next few months. And it's not me, and I'm not trying to, you know, perceive this as, oh, Allen's being a Debbie Downer or anything like that. It's just realistic. I really don't know what to expect. I think, you know, the security of the bubble that the players were in, that the coaching staff was in, the fact that, you know, the one thing that stood out to me more than anything else in the Orlando bubble, what I was worried about from a basketball perspective, of course you're worried about, you know, the safety of everybody that was part of the Orlando bubble, from staff to players to coaches to trainers. I mean, you name it, hotel staff, I mean, everybody, you were worried about that from a safety perspective. But the thing from a basketball perspective I was most concerned about was this going to kind of take away from the competitive side of things? Was a player going to test positive for COVID-19 in the playoffs, and it was a major player from a good team, and now that team all of a sudden didn't have that player for 2 weeks, and that's why that team got eliminated? It's not because the competition beat them. It's because somebody got COVID-19, and that was really the difference. That was the effect of a team not making it to the finals, just using that as an example. I thought that would be much more. I thought that would play in much more, and it didn't. It never happened in Orlando, and I think that, you know, was a compliment, and a lot of people spent time complimenting the NBA, complimenting Adam Silver, complimenting the Players Association, that they were just able to get that far, that they were just able to accomplish that goal. But this upcoming season, I don't know what to expect. You know, we're not sure yet if we'll be at the stadium or if we're just going to be in the studio. We're not sure what kind of the layout's going to look like. We're not sure when players do travel. That's why I'm so curious to get that schedule. I thought maybe we'd get it today, but obviously it's not happening. I thought that's going to be so curious to see how the NBA kind of laid things out, how they thought in their mind what's going to be in the best interests of the league, and how they you know, how they just envision this upcoming season. And I think, at least to this point, definitely nobody has an idea what the season's going to look like, but it is going to be a challenge, I think, like no tomorrow, to play out this preseason, play out the regular season, that's 76 games for the Lakers, to just get to the postseason. Because what the NBA had to do to finish off the year and eventually crown a champ is much different what they're going to have to try and do in the 2020-2021 season. But that's the cards everybody has dealt, and that's going to be part of the sports landscape that's changing on a daily basis, and certainly no different for the NBA. All right, Om Young-Masuk is coming up next, covers the NBA for ESPN. We'll get into this conversation about if he agrees with me that the Lakers and the Clippers, that's going to be the matchup this upcoming season, and is it finally going to happen this upcoming year where those two teams face each other? That's coming up next. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Alan Sliwa. This is 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I appreciate you guys tuning in. I want to welcome in Om Young-Masuk, covers the NBA for ESPN. Om, what's going on, man? Hopefully you had a great Thanksgiving, and here we are. Are you ready for training camp?
I am not ready for training camp. Not ready for the season again. I haven't even wrapped my head mentally around being in an arena again. As great as that'll be, hopefully, but still just not ready for the season to begin.
Well, I love the honesty. I love the honesty of not being ready. what do you think that will look like? Can you, at the arena, we know the Lakers obviously will start things off, them and the Clippers on December 11th. Is it going to be from, you know, your understanding, or you're still waiting to get some more information on this as well? How much media are they going to let in? What should the new norm, you think, look like for this upcoming year now that they're playing at their home arenas again?
You know, the disclaimer I'm going to say first is I think things can change at any moment. Mm-hmm. And I think that right now in some markets, you're going to see hopefully some NBA teams allow a limited amount of media into the building. Whether or not there are fans depends, I think, on each municipality and each state. But let's just say there are no fans allowed. You know, for example, at Staples Center, I think you could be seeing a limited amount of media sitting in the area where the radio broadcasters sit, which for fans that don't know, if you were to go up from basically the front row, you know, basically courtside across the way from the benches, but you go up probably, I don't know, what do you think,
Alex? About 20
like
rows.
25 rows?
Yeah, something like that, right around there.
And it's like at the top of that first 100 section, you would see, you know, you might see some limited media sitting there. And it's going to be strange because, you know, you're watching not only the players from that far away in an empty Staples Center potentially, but we won't be allowed to be anywhere near the players or the coaches. And I totally understand that. I'm all for that, actually, as long as the pandemic continues to go. And then you do everything, your interviews and everything through Zoom virtually, even though you are in the building. And so I think that's kind of maybe perhaps going to be the plan moving forward as soon as early as preseason. And then once they have a vaccine and maybe, you know, cases start to go down, maybe things get eased up a little bit and perhaps maybe we see some normalcy return halfway through the season or maybe even the playoffs. I'm not optimistic about halfway through the season because I think even if we do get a vaccine toward the end of this year, you still got to wait for it to be distributed to everybody. You got to see how things go. And certainly when you look and see what's going on in the NFL, and today was a crazy day because, you know, you look and see the Ravens Steelers was pushed back another day.
Yeah.
And certain players being added to a COVID list and things like that. And you see the havoc is kind of creating now with the NFL schedule deep into their season. You wonder how are things going to go with the NBA outside of a bubble. They were magnificent and perfect with how they executed last year's restart in the bubble. Now the challenge gets much greater outside of a bubble. And just take a look at what – if you look at a football team and you look at one team and say, listen, one group like the offensive line, one guy didn't even just test positive. Maybe he was in danger of being their contact who did test positive. Now that whole group has to quarantine, or like the Denver Broncos, the whole quarterback group had to quarantine and couldn't play. You look at an NBA team, there's only like 12 guys play. Then you have all the assistant coaches. I just don't understand how you're not going to have an entire team quarantine. Maybe I'm speaking out of line here. Certainly, I don't know all the things that the NBA has planned because I think they're still figuring out a lot of things. And Adam Silver's as smart as they come and as prepared as they come and certainly has been talking to all the experts. But I still wonder, and I think a lot of people in the NBA wonder, how is this season going to be able to be executed and go through without games being postponed and without guys potentially testing positive?
You know, the NBA did so well, like you mentioned, in Orlando. But I think it's important to mention, and I was talking about this in the last segment, where they just had to finish 8 games, right, before you got into the playoffs. So, and then, you know, I'm not even talking about the fact that everyone was in, you couldn't enter and leave that bubble, or certainly you couldn't do it unless there was a lot of restrictions and measures that were taken. Yeah, I'm with you. I think this challenge in front of the NBA, especially, you know, right now you see the amount of cases on a daily basis of people testing positive. We're setting, it seems like, records almost every day as far as daily positive COVID tests. This is going to be incredibly unique, incredibly challenging. And I think you said something in the beginning that stood out to me, that it's fluid. So whatever the rules are today could be different tomorrow based on just more information they get or more experience that they have, or whether things are going better than they thought or going worse than they thought. I don't know how you have 76 games, if you're just using the Lakers as an example, the four preseason games plus the regular season, before you even get to the postseason. It sounds like this might be a much more difficult feat than finishing off last season.
I think, Alan, you know, today I was on a call with a bunch of the NBA writers around the league, and certainly one of the things that was said was that this is going to be perhaps the most challenging year we've had covering the NBA just for writers. That's not even taking into account how challenging and difficult it's going to be for teams to keep their players and their staff members all safe, for the NBA to make sure that these games are being played. It's going to be more challenging than what the bubble was. And the bubble and everything that it took and entailed was a massive, massive production. So you wonder, like I understand and I get it how players don't want to do the bubble again. It was very taxing on them mentally, physically, everything. But now that you are allowed to see family members and maybe non-family members or whatever have you, you just expose yourself even more to potentially getting this virus. I mean, listen, I think, as you said, the cases are exploding like almost a record every day, right? But now we're going to see in 2 weeks the ramifications from people traveling for Thanksgiving.
Yep.
That is going to explode potentially. I hate to sound like I'm an expert, because it feels like every time you and I talk, we are talking a lot about the virus, you know, but that's become our lives.
Sure,
right.
Sure.
And so like in 2 weeks, if things explode here in LA mm-hmm. and in none of these other NBA markets, you don't know who's been impacted that will be connected to an NBA player. We may start to see positive cases. I hope not. But if we start seeing that, we're going to see how the NBA handles things. And certainly, I think, you know, there's like, what, going to be a two-week window or a week break where the All-Star break was supposed to be kind of baked into this season. And in my mind, I'm kind of expecting that that could be a week where some games are being made up. Hmm. Because I just don't expect, you know, if you were to put a gun to my head.
It's not going
to
go perfect.
I think that,
right,
that these teams are going to be able to complete this schedule that could be coming out this week. That's going to move forward into that break, that there's not going to be any hiccups.
Om Yongmasuk, who covers the NBA for ESPN, joining Lakers Talk. Om, it's been I thought it was a very exciting free agency. Obviously, a lot of movement around the NBA. And it's, of course, it was weird to be on November 20th and free agency starting, but there was definitely some shifting around the league. I want to get your thoughts on the two local teams, so the Lakers and the Clippers. Lakers end up with Montrezl Harrell. They get Dennis Schroeder in a trade. Marc Gasol and Wesley Matthews also signed with the Lakers. And then they, you know, I thought there were some key re-signings, KCP, Markieff Morris. The Clippers, I don't think it's been official yet, but Nicholas Batum eventually is expected to be a Clipper. Serge Ibaka goes to the Clippers as well. And then Luke Kennard from the Detroit Pistons. Just looking at the off seasons, is this... Do you expect for the first time in history between both of these franchises that these two teams will face each other in the postseason, and it potentially being the Western Conference Finals? Are these the two best teams in the West, in your opinion?
They could very well be the two best teams in the West. And the reason why I say could is just because I think you have to give yourself the belief and understanding that the unexpected could happen this season. And when I say that, I mean, like, listen, the Lakers, I think nobody is arguing that they are the best team in the NBA in my mind.
Agreed.
But their record may not show that at the end of the season. And the reason why I say that is because there's been such a short break, you now are looking at resting LeBron James a lot. You may look at load managing LeBron James, Anthony Davis, whatever the Lakers have to do. Seeding might not even be important to the Lakers at all, as long as they get in. I don't think I talked to one Lakers source maybe like 3 or 4 weeks ago, who said, listen, when the season was all of a sudden getting ready to start in December again. And this source said, you know, if the Lakers are the fifth or sixth seed, it won't matter. I know Laker fans don't want to hear that. And I don't think you should judge the Lakers on that. What I'm saying is I still think the Lakers are the best team. But what I'm also saying is we have to prepare ourselves for the unexpected. There could be guys that test positive. There could be already, we just know, it's going to probably be a fact that LeBron James is not going to start like he would normally start a regular season because he just hasn't had that type of rest. So my educated guess is that he's going to be kind of eased into things. And look, you're seeing it all around the league. You know, you're going to see guys that are probably going to be eased in and going to be managed because, you know, it's going to be a marathon. And in addition to what happens when there are positive tests, depth is going to be incredibly, incredibly valuable for these teams. That's why I love all the Laker moves. The Lakers have had a great offseason. Rob Pelinka, arguably, since the day Magic stunned us all and stepped down mm-hmm. and accused Rob Pelinka of being this backstabber, Rob Pelinka has almost been flawless since then. You know, from the way he handled everything to the Anthony Davis trade to all the moves to even working in conjunction with LeBron James and Anthony Davis on this roster to then, you know, getting Dennis Schroeder to getting Montrezl Harrell and weakening the Clippers. You know, I think he's made all the great moves. Now, look, we still need to see. On paper, they're great.
Right.
We got to see how the chemistry is going to become playoff time, how Montrezl Harrell and Dennis Schroeder are going to fit in because – Dennis Schroeder is an upgrade on paper from Rajon Rondo, but we know what Rajon Rondo did for this team
Absolutely.
In the playoffs. We also know that Rajon Rondo was a leader, that Rajon Rondo was one of the few guys that could check LeBron James if needed, and LeBron would listen to Rajon Rondo. You don't have that now. Anthony Davis is now, you would think, because he's won a championship and because of his friendship with LeBron James, he can be that guy, right? But these are things that we're going to have to see come chemistry, how it's going to affect them. And then I think defensively this team has gotten weakened a little bit by losing Dwight Howard and replacing with Montrezl Harrell. But Montrezl Harrell, for all his flaws that we saw in the postseason, remember again, his grandmother died. This woman raised him, was his best friend, and introduced him to basketball. I still think he was grief-stricken throughout the playoffs. And, you know, yes, his flaws were exposed by Nikola Jokic. But on the Lakers, all his flaws will be covered up by Anthony Davis defensively and also offensively. He will be able to work in pick and roll with one of the best facilitators of all time in LeBron James, and I think that is going to help Montrezl Harrell shine as well.
Final one, how do you think this AD, his contract plays out? Do you think AD signs a long-term deal with the Lakers, or do you think it's maybe something that's shorter, maybe even matches up his contract with what LeBron has left after this season? Or with this season, which would be a 1+1, how do you think AD plays out his contract?
Without knowing exactly what Clutch is thinking or doing, but my guess would be, and my thought process has always been that he will probably tie himself to what LeBron James does, give himself flexibility, and then see what happens and what the Lakers' direction is going to be. A lot can change in the next year or two, and so I think Anthony Davis has always struck me as a guy who loves L.A. and loves the Lakers, but also I think his team and the people around him are smart, and they're going to want to, you know, keep some flexibility and leverage as well. That's kind of like the new NBA, right? So you look at, like, Giannis and his future right now, and it's in his best interest to kind of keep his flexibility going. Even if he does like all the moves of what Milwaukee's doing, you want to always maintain that leverage if you're a player and the flexibility.
I couldn't agree more, by the way. Just using the Giannis as a good example, why not keep that pressure on that franchise? Why not make that franchise, up until the last moment, just make them continue to have to, you know, rebuild around what makes sense and what gives you the best chance to win an NBA championship? So if that's what Giannis ends up doing, I think it's a smart move, and then we'll see how things play out with AD. Thank you, my man. I know you're not ready, but it's here. And we will see you probably across the street sooner than you'd like, but we are getting training camp started. So thanks for taking some time and joining the show, bud.
Anytime, man. You know I enjoy coming on. Thanks
for
having me.
Thank you, Om. That's Om Yongmasuk right there. Okay, a couple things I want to hit on from one of the things Om just mentioned right there. He talked about Montrezl Harrell and Jalen Rose on Jalen and Jacoby. had an interesting, you know, soundbite that I want to play here, that Trez basically ruined his value in the playoffs. Plus, Dennis Schroeder was on with Mason and Ramona a little bit earlier today. Ramona filling in for Mason or for John Ireland, talking about how Dennis Schroeder is looking forward to playing with LeBron. So I got those coming up next that I want to play for Laker fans. If you want to be a part of the show, no, you can always call in 877-710-ESPN. More Lakers talk coming up next. I'm Alan Sliwa. This is 710 ESPN.
Got somebody tweeting me listening from Abu Dhabi. Got Laker fans everywhere.
By the way, quick reminder, right when we're done with this show, we'll go on ESPN Los Angeles on Twitter, Periscope, Facebook, YouTube. We'll get on all the platforms. We'll do another half hour of Lakers talk. So I appreciate you guys tuning in here on 710 ESPN. You miss any part of the show, ESPN app or on iTunes, go back there and you'll get every Lakers talk show that we've done. And, of course, you'll get the show that we've done tonight. Before I play this clip from Jalen Rose talking about Montrezl Harrell, new Los Angeles Laker Montrezl Harrell, friend of the show, Brad Turner from the LA Times, just put out a piece on the LA Times talking about Anthony Davis and Rich Paul to meet Lakers on Tuesday. So he says, according to people, the situation, according to people with knowledge of the situation, not authorized to speak publicly on the matter. Anthony Davis and his agent, Rich Paul of Clutch Sports, are scheduled to meet with the Lakers and general manager Rob Pelinka on Tuesday. So that's tomorrow. Hey, you know, I'm not worried about what Anthony Davis does. I was trying to make this argument last week. I was trying to make the argument that I prefer seeing Anthony Davis actually just sign a two-year deal with the Lakers. I'd prefer seeing AD match up his contract with LeBron James. So LeBron's got 2 years left on his contract with the Lakers this upcoming season and next year. But after this season, he's got an option to opt out of his contract. I think if AD did a 1+1 as well, and those two kind of lined identical to each other, that could be a dangerous combination going into next offseason, where the Lakers can have an incredible amount of flexibility to go after another all-star player to join LeBron James and Anthony Davis, and then they can make the finances work. I like that I'm just throwing other people's money around and saying, yeah, that's completely okay. AD will just take less money. LeBron will take less money. Everybody will be happy. I don't know if that's going to happen, but obviously that flexibility, it almost reminds me of the Miami Heat when LeBron, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh all took less money to play together. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but we'll see. Maybe we get some more information. Who knows? By this time tomorrow, maybe AD signs a long-term contract with the Lakers, and you know, you could forget about that, and that means AD is going to be with the Lakers for long term. That's fantastic as well. I don't see AD going anywhere. Why would you go anywhere when I say I don't see AD going anywhere, I'm not talking about just this upcoming season or next year. I'm talking about long term. I don't see Anthony Davis playing anywhere else. You're getting everything that you wanted, that you wished for, that you hoped for when you left New Orleans or when you requested a trade from the Pelicans. You're in the number one basketball market. You're playing for one of the most popular franchises in all of sports, a global brand. Your marketing, your exposure, and then on top of that, put all that to the side, because you know what? You can go get that with the New York Knicks, where you're playing with a big franchise in a big market. But you got chances to stack up championships playing for the Los Angeles Lakers. You already got one championship in your first year here. How about that? Your first year with the Lakers and you already got a championship. And we could be sitting here 7-8 months from now, 9 months from now, however long the Lakers play into the postseason, you could have won 2 championships with the Lakers. So certainly the Lakers in a good spot, but AD in a very, very good spot as well. Let me play something real quick from Jalen Rose. He's talking about new Los Angeles Laker member of the squad, Montrezl Harrell. Here's Jalen Rose talking about what happened in the offseason for Montrezl Harrell, specifically because of how he performed in the playoffs.
I'm going to keep it 1,000. He ruined some of his value by playing poorly in the playoffs. You're going to see a lot of people getting big deals this offseason. The reason why he didn't get a long-term deal is because he was the defensive liability that the Joker continued to take advantage of, to the point where they had to take him out of the game. Of course, if the Clippers would have stepped up and signed him to a big deal, or Charlotte would have gave him a big deal, or any team in the league would have gave him a big deal, guess what? He would have signed with that team. He signed with the Lakers because they were offering a two-year deal, an opportunity to win a championship, and he hopes to replay his value as somebody that won Sixth Man of the Year.
So I whether you want to agree with Jalen Rose or you don't want to agree with him, this is a good position if you're a Laker fan. You love when players are coming to join the Los Angeles Lakers for two reasons. We just saw this, by the way, in the offseason for the Lakers. Why did Rondo leave the Los Angeles Lakers? He accomplished his goal. He won an NBA championship with the Lakers. He got another ring. But just as important as getting that championship, for him personally, he showed that he still has value in the NBA, and he went and got that two-year contract, $15 million with the Atlanta Hawks. It's not apples to apples. I know he's towards the end of his career, but that was important to a guy like Rajon Rondo. Montrezl Harrell coming to the Lakers, there's some similarities there. If Jalen Rose is right that the performance that Montrezl Harrell had in Orlando inside of that bubble took away a lot of money from his pocket because now teams were, all of a sudden, they weren't that crazy about signing Montrezl Harrell to a long-term deal, or the Clippers didn't want to commit to him long-term. Why is that good for the Lakers? Because you got a 26-year-old with a chip on his shoulder. You got a 26-year-old that understands he's got to have a breakout year with the Lakers. He's got to play well. He's got to come through in the regular season. He's got to come through in the postseason. He has to be able to jive with the chemistry and the players. I love this. He put out, there was a post yesterday on Instagram. I want to say it was yesterday. LeBron basically put something out. It was a picture of Montrezl Harrell and complimenting him and his game, and obviously he's going to be a Laker. And Montrezl Harrell came back and said something to the effect of just trying to help the team, as in that's going to be his mindset, his game plan for the Lakers coming into the season. Montrezl Harrell has a purpose this upcoming year. Now he's going to have to go out there and make it happen, but when you do think of these new acquisitions that the Lakers made, Montrezl Harrell's got some talent. He's got holes in his game. I'd be the first one to tell you there's definitely areas of his game that are incredibly raw, but he's going to be playing with LeBron James and Anthony Davis, specifically AD down low. They will bring out the best of him. I got another clip I want to play. So Dennis Schroeder earlier today was on with Ramona and Mason on the Mason and Ireland show, and he's talking specifically about how much he's looking forward to playing with LeBron.
I'm looking forward to it. You know, he's one of the best players who ever, you know, touched the basketball and been on the NBA floor. I think you can, like, really learn from LeBron, and I think he is willing to help everyone, you know, around him to get better. And I'm looking forward to it, you know, and it's an honor, you know, to play for the Lakers and with him as well.
He kept saying that in that Zoom call too with the LA reporters about how it was an honor to play for the Lakers. He had a smile on his face where you could tell that this guy understands what he's got in front of him and this opportunity in front of him. This is the final year of his contract, so there's no guarantees Dennis Schroeder is going to be with the Lakers for, you know, on a long term. There's no guarantees he's going to be here for 2, 3, 4 years. So Dennis Schroeder's got something to prove as well. And obviously, an opportunity to play with LeBron James is special. One more that I want to play, Dennis Schroeder, on who he watched growing up.
Rajon Rondo, I watched a lot because everybody compared me a little bit, his playing style, when I was young. Him, then, of course, Tony Parker, Mike Conley as well. Yeah, it was a lot of them who I watched the games on.
All right, that's Dennis Schroeder right there. Love the comparisons with him and Rondo. I mean, virtually, the Lakers, he's going to play what Rondo was playing for the Lakers this past season. I don't know if Schroeder is going to start this year. I really don't know, but he indicated earlier today that coming off the bench is what he was doing with the Oklahoma City Thunder. With all indications of what I saw, or at least what I listened to, I think that's somebody that thinks he's going to be playing with LeBron and AD in the starting lineup. Here's the beauty. Training camp's about to start. Preseason's going to start on December 11th. And we're going to find out what, you know, head coach Frank Vogel does with this lineup. But Rob Pelinka did his job to bring the talent to the Lakers on the roster
and in front of the coaching staff and these veteran players. Now it's a matter of mixing and matching and finding what is in the best interest of this organization and this team. And guys like Dennis Schroeder might have to sacrifice. Guys like Montrezl Harrell might have to sacrifice. But that's what happens with championship caliber teams. That's what comes with championship teams. So we got a lot that's coming up here over the next 10 days or so. And before you know it, we'll get into our first preseason game. Big shout out to Curtis. Thank you for everything he's doing there in the background. Laker fans, greatly appreciate you guys tuning in. Come join me on social. We're going to get started here in a few minutes. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.